counting little spots, slowly, lots of them. Stalls, as they're called. Little blocks in capillaries in the brain. Ones which may be clues to Alzheimer's. And now they're using citizen science to help them work out what's happening. Pietro Michelucci, director of the Human Computational Institute, is working with scientists from Cornell. Okay, let's take the mouse, and it has a brain, which somehow you have affected in a way that it's got a kind of Alzheimer's, and you're looking inside the brain with various imaging systems to look at blood flow. What are you trying to catch exactly to see whether something is or is not happening?
Yeah, in Alzheimer's disease, we've known since the beginning that there's this overall reduction in brain blood flow. And my colleagues at Cornell are interested in understanding exactly what that relationship is. So when we look in the mouse brains, what we're trying to do is find out which capillaries, the tiniest blood vessels in the brain, are stalled or flowing. So if they're stalled, there's something stuck in there and the blood can't get through. And what they found already is that this happens much more often in the mice that have been given the human version of Alzheimer's disease than in mice that are the wild type of mice.
So bring in the citizen science people. Now, it takes often a stretch to work out what these citizens can do to play a game, to make it interesting, to spot something that the scientists can't. Now, presumably you've got thousands of images, therefore you need hundreds of people all looking for something. What are they looking for?
What the crowd is actually looking for is this blood vessel that's been outlined for me when I play this little video back and forth. Is the blood flowing through there, or does it look like it's stuck? And this is, to some extent, as much art as it is science to make this determination accurately, and that's why we need humans rather than machines. The best machine learning algorithms get about 85% right, but the lab needs 99% of it right.
And of course, you can test this. You can find out whether there are certain blood vessels where there is flow going on, and so you can test your crowd to find if they're doing well and therefore know whether your results are useful.
Well, that's exactly what we do. So we have what we call calibration videos, and every once in a while we'll throw one of those in where we already know the answer, and then we'll try to figure out whether that person is answering correctly or not. We build this into the game. So we try to give a game-like experience, and there's this little blue tube that one of our volunteers coined the term, that as we test you occasionally and your blue tube goes up, it means that you're more sensitive and your score goes up faster. And for some people who play the game, it's kind of a source of bragging rights to have a big blue tube.
So that it is fun, because on the first instance, if you're looking at tiny things and little dots or black movement, it doesn't seem all that fun.
Yeah, you would think so. And I think different strokes for different folks. So not everyone likes to play a board game. Not everyone likes to play a video game. But there seems to be this demographic. And actually, in our case, we see two demographics of folks who are interested. We have middle schoolers who get very excited about the competitive aspect of the game. And then we have retired folks and seniors who care about it in a different way and participate for different reasons.
How many? Thousands?
Yeah, we have over 5,000 registered players today.
Isn't that excellent? So what are you looking for to get an association? Obviously, if you see blood flow, in association with what? Is it the plaques, the famous plaques in the brain that build up when you've got Alzheimer's?
Yeah, well, that's the big question. And I think answering that helps us figure out how to come up with the best treatment. So one of the findings at Cornell before they had this way to speed up the research, so it took a long time to get there, was that if you can remove these stalled blood vessels, in other words, if you can get the blood flowing again, in the mice, you actually see their cognitive function return. Memories actually come back. Depression goes away, these kinds of things. You can actually measure depression in mice, it turns out. So yeah, try to imagine that little mouse talking to Freud. So when we do an intervention that allows us to answer that question, we're getting rid of the stalls. And then you say, well then it sounds like you have your treatment, but we don't have a safe treatment. So this isn't the kind of thing that you could give to a mouse or a human for an extended period of time without compromising their health. So the goal now is to figure out a safe way to do that. And so if we try a new treatment on a mouse, then we want the help of the volunteers to figure out, is this actually making the stalls go away? So we need to go in the brain, find out how many stalls there are, count them, and say, are they still there or are they gone? And if they're gone, hey, maybe we're onto something.
Well, there is a school that says that with people like ourselves, when you get to 60 or 70, your blood vessels have been there, okay, renewed, but nonetheless getting more and more fragile, and your heart is pounding away. And as a result of that, you get mini strokes, you get leakages. and the mice presumably being much younger, you don't have that effect. And so whether the model is matching effectively is a big question. Have you worried about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is in the backs of the minds of anyone who studies Alzheimer's disease. But what we do know is that in the Alzheimer's, we give mice the human version of Alzheimer's disease genetically, and we see the progression of the disease is matched against the human progression. They develop the same hallmark characteristics in the brain, the plaques that show up, and they get the same cognitive symptoms as humans. And the lifespan of a mouse is obviously much shorter than that of a human, just a couple years in captivity. And what we see is a much more rapid progression of the disease. So you can imagine that the time scale that you see on humans is much more compressed. Whether or not mice get mini strokes when they're in their golden years, I don't know the answer to that.
And now you're looking particularly at high-fat diets. How's that progressing?
Yeah, so that's the data set that's in Stall Catchers right now. So anyone who's playing the game today is helping us answer the question of, does a high-fat diet increase the rate of these stalls? Understanding that might speak to a certain treatment approach or maybe even prevention strategy in the first place. So if someone knows that they're predisposed to Alzheimer's or is concerned about that, maybe it will turn out that changing your diet could make a difference. But again, we're relying heavily on our volunteers to help answer that question, so I guess we'll find out soon.
But when do you expect the results to begin to flow? Because you've already published to some extent.
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, the bulk of our work up until now has really been building out this platform, developing a community, engaging with a community. And now we're just at the point where we're starting to put fresh data that even the experts haven't seen yet into the system. And so we announced today our first crowd-generated result. And the question there is, with these plaques in the brain, are you seeing more stalls near these plaques? And just at a preliminary look, because the experts are still vetting the crowd data, it appears that it's a negative result, which means that we're not seeing more stalls near these plaques. That suggests that targeting a treatment should take into account that the plaques don't appear to be correlated with these stalls.
So the plaques may not be directly associated with blocks. Alzheimer's continues to be a puzzle. Pietro Michelucci at the Human Computational Institute in association with Cornell University in Ithaca, New York.